so.
All right. Oh, yeah.
And then you go.
Got it. Officials say census workers forged survey in the New York Times.
That's it.
Oh, there's a shocker.
It's a good thing I'm recording this because I may have to add this into the show.
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly. So let's see. Apple criticized.
All right. Don't talk about it yet.
I'm just reading.
Shut up. Wait for the show to start. God damn it.
All right, fine. Let's get this show going.
All right, well,
wait for you to turn off the air conditioner.
Okay. Well, the air conditioning's off.
That's funny. You just told him to turn it on. Not turn off the air conditioner. Turn off the air conditioner. Your 5 minutes of cool air is over, Barry.
Exactly. Hope it felt good. Remember it.
It's a good thing I have water here. Besides, I've already had two rum and cokes before you got here.
Well, I can't help it. We like to start drinking early, like 10:30.
How'd you know? All right, let's get this thing started.
Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRN. Your hosts tonight are Jash, Barry J, and Barty of the Barty Cast. Tonight, we welcome Barty of the Barty Cast to the Late Night QRM family. Barry finally gets DSL. Barty has both Dish and DirecTV. Why? And the new iPhone 4 is out. Can you guess who stood in line for 3 hours to get one? All that and more on Late Night QRM. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in southwest New Hampshire.
That's where you're going!
Here's Jash, Barry J, and Barty!
Welcome to Late Night QRM show number 3 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire. I'm Barry J.
I'm Jash.
And I'm Barty.
Yes, well, Jash, where are you from?
Planet Earth. Actually, I am from the beautiful city of Nashua, New Hampshire.
All right. And Barty, welcome. A new guest, new host. Here, we've been trying to get him on the show since show zero, but he's been a very busy person. So here's your chance to tell us a little bit about yourself.
I live in central New York's Tug Hill Plateau in a little tiny village called Redfield, a place that gets tons of snow and a lot more than what I expected when we moved in.
From the lake,
where we're handling it.
Yeah, the lake. You get the lake effect, right?
Yeah, off Lake Ontario.
Wow.
Yeah, I was listening to Mike talk about the snow that he gets. I could really relate.
Yes, up in Copper Harbor, and Mike. Well, he's on vacation this week. He said he might be available, but apparently not.
As long as he's on vacation, God bless him.
I hope he's having a good time wherever he's at.
Absolutely,
he's in Vegas, baby.
Oh my God! So it's like a whole other lifestyle from Copper Harbor.
Yeah, it's very hard to say unless you're New England. If you're from New England, you can say Copper Harbor.
Copper Harbor. And so that's easy.
So Barty, welcome, and hopefully you'll be joining us for more shows.
If I can manage it, I'd like to. Sounds like a lot of fun. I've enjoyed listening to the previous episodes. You guys seem to be having a damn good time.
Yeah. Oh, we try, and I'll try not to be late anymore.
Okay.
Maybe.
Damn it. Maybe. Joel.
Yeah.
God, you know, we're just going to call you Joel, okay?
Fine. What's your name? I don't know. Aloysius.
Yeah. How many years did we do Radio QRM and I never called you?
Exactly. We did almost 5 years of radio. We did Radio QRM and almost our radio names. And we took a little sabbatical for about, I don't know, 16 months or 18 months. And 2 years. Of a sudden, 2 years. And then we completely forgot how to even do it. It's like, whatever, Barry, fine. You know, as opposed to Barry J. It's Barry, what? Joel, what?
Barry's fine. It's
like any listener out there wouldn't be able to figure out. I wonder where his first name stops.
Yeah.
And his, I don't know, middle initials starts.
You know how that started. It for one thing is, and I'll use my real name, but you know, it's like. I always wanted to be. I always said that if I
grow up someday,
did radio or something like that, I would always use Jay Barry because it's my middle initial and that's kind of a cool name, except for there's like 1,000 Jay Barrys out there. So mm-hmm. I just said, well, okay, just use Barry J. And the only reason I use Barry J because my last name is Furnival, which mm-hmm. One guy at work has said, that's a great drunk name. Furnival.
Really?
And it's just too long, you know? Right. Although when I was in college, my roommate and I did a morning show, and it was Furnival and Ferenz. His last name was Ferenz.
And it has a ring to it.
And except it sounded like, if you said it fast, it sounded like we were saying Furnival and Friends. But we use that, but Furnival's not a good name for
yeah. You digital. Talked about the Radio QRM episodes, and I tell you, I really love that show. It was really, I think I've told Barry this before, that it was really the final impetus to get me to start podcasting, because I figured if two guys from New Hampshire could sit around drunk and record a podcast, I sure as hell could.
And you've proven that you can.
Hello.
and Barty does have
episodes were great.
He does have his own podcast called the Barty Cast, and he does he plays music. It's what's your little motto there?
I try to cram as much music as I can in about 30 to 40 minutes. I try to keep the episodes down to 30 minutes because I figure most people are trying to listen to a number of podcasts, and if all the podcasts are rather long in length, it's kind of hard to fit them into your commute, you know? Exactly. So that was why I tried to keep it small. And I was mainly trying to eliminate all the chatter, and I was just kind of just saying, no chatter, just platters.
Yes, that's it. Wow.
Mainly all I do, I just announce who the artist is and what the name of the song is. Once in a while, some of their influences and things like that, if they list it on the pages I'm getting their music from. But that's pretty much about it. I just tell you who it is, what it is, and go on to the next song, you know, just to try to play as much music as possible in the shortest period of time.
Right. And gotcha. And so if anybody's interested and they want to listen to it, where can we find your podcast?
iTunes and the Zune Marketplace both have it.
Okay. And you have a webpage?
Yeah, www.bartycast.com. You can find all the show notes.
Okay, that's great. And you probably got a subscription thing up there, so if they want to subscribe in iTunes, you can...
Yeah, there's iTunes and Zune Marketplace icons on there that you can click.
Great. And I know it's been a little bit of time since you put one out.
It's been about
You suffer the same problem we all do. Work. I mean, yeah, it's exactly. The day job.
Yeah, well, especially when you know, they start sending you out of town for extended periods, and you know, I'm starting to travel more and more, and so it's getting harder and harder to find time to podcast. When I first did it, I was living in New Hampshire and commuting down into the Boston area, and we had a warehouse / lab. It was a warehouse, but I took a part of it and made it into a lab so I could make an excuse to work there. Mm-hmm. So I had like a really short commute back home to Bedford, and I had a lot more time to mess around with making shows, and I was kicking them out 2 or 3 episodes a week at that time. But now I'd be lucky if I can get 2 or 3 episodes out a month. Hell, I'd be happy just to do one a month.
But you know, you need to set up you need to get yourself a portable setup so you can, when you're traveling, you can do it in the hotel room at night. Because
I have done a couple from hotel rooms, but generally the type of install and support work that we do on the road, it tends to be we show up on a Thursday and have an initial meeting on Friday, do some setup work, and we don't start until after the end of duty hours somewhere between 4 and 5 o'clock. Okay. And then we tend to work all night Friday into early Saturday morning, take a few hours off, come back a little later in the morning to early afternoon Saturday and continue. Wow. And usually Monday through Wednesday are pretty busy like that too. They're like tend to be 10 to 12 hour days. So there's not really a whole lot of hotel time free to do much. Oh. So when you get to a weekend, you just want to get the hell out of town.
Yeah, go back home, right?
Yeah, or if it's a weekend that's in the, you know, if it's like a 2 week trip and you've got a weekend in the middle, you don't want to hang around town, you know.
Yeah,
you just get the hell out of Dodge and go see something. Really.
Well, if you're noticing, we're all on Skype, and if you've, I don't know whether you've noticed a difference in the sound quality, but
it's because Barry finally got DSL.
It's about time.
I did. Yeah, yesterday actually, it came. The FedEx truck came up the driveway, had my DSL modem, and. It's also got Wi-Fi built in, but I've already got Wi-Fi all over the house. This is the third Wi-Fi setup I have, I think, in the house. So I'm pretty well covered in Wi-Fi. It's you know, you can pretty much walk 600 feet in any direction from the house, and you'll be able to hook into one of my Wi-Fi connections.
I've got an Apple Extreme wireless modem.
Yeah.
A router, rather, that I connect to my DSL router.
Yeah.
And, I've got extenders all over the house that have like printers plugged into them or speakers so I can play iTunes through them.
Yeah.
But the extenders also extend the network. So it doesn't matter where you go in any direction, inside or outside the house, you've got a signal.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of cool.
Yeah. Very cool. By the way, Barty, we're getting some kind of hum when you talk. It disappears when you stop talking.
So you're trying to tell me to shut up.
No, not at all.
But I was actually sitting here thinking, I mean, I can hear Barty perfectly clear. I do hear a little bit of that hum. On another note, Barry, you sound like you're about 1,000 miles away.
Well, it doesn't matter because... only you can hear that. I'm recording, so it sounds great.
It's all on me. Get that, Barty? It's all my fault. Okay.
Yeah, he wants. It's all your fault. He wants me to shut up.
Exactly. You quit. It's my fault and stop humming.
No, actually, you're not humming now, but yeah, I might sound like crap because remember, I got to do the mix minus here, and so
that's true.
I'm
that's
coming true. Out
just
on
a little
the monitor.
Faint. Doesn't sound like crap. Just a little faint.
Did I sound better last week?
I don't remember what I did yesterday. How am I supposed to remember what it sounded like last week?
But you all sound great, and it's going into the recorder just. Beautifully, right now.
Yeah, the quality's great. No one's breaking up.
Yeah, it's. I've got. I was doing tests. I got everything hooked up last night, and I was doing tests on the SpeedNet check, and I was getting pretty much 6 MIPS down, 6 MB down, and 1 MB up. So I'm happy, considering I'm way out here in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, I'm more than 3 miles away from the central office, so they must have some great new equipment, and the DSL they're using is fantastic, because this is like 5 times the bandwidth I had with the wireless system.
So, you sound great. There's no breakup. There's no latency. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, I just got to work on the audio quality. Back to you.
Speaking about quality, what kind of quality do you think we're getting out of the latest census?
Oh,
you think these guys are like really doing a good job on this?
It's amazing that you asked about that because
it's not really that amazing. I read it in the show notes. But you know, you look at that article and they're talking like there are 10,000 census surveys in Brooklyn that are being redone after two local managers filled the surveys out themselves.
Yeah, you know? there are rumors that were going on. So all these people that are running to your house and knocking on your door because if you didn't fill out your mail-in census.
They're not running to my house. They can't find my house.
Well, actually, the lady here, we were late getting ours in, and I only filled out like half the questions. I said, yes, there are two people living here, and that's pretty much all I answered.
Right.
But she was actually, she's waiting out in the street in her car. And whenever she saw somebody pull into one of the driveways, she'd come running up the driveway.
They were doing the same thing here.
Nobody wanted to talk to them. You know?
That's my business. Sorry.
I know. And they're asking way too many questions. Of course, actually, the one we got, the census form we got was the minimal one.
So the short form.
Yeah, the short form version, which they didn't ask that many questions. But there
10 questions.
Yeah, there is a long version that they would pass out to some people where they got. Yeah. They were asking a lot of questions.
Quite frankly. 10 questions. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, that's fine. Go ahead.
The way I look at it, 10 questions is about 8 questions too many.
We got the short one here as well, and in fact, we were a little tardy in sending it back, so they sent us a second one. I was so tempted to fill it out and say that I was a illegal immigrants living in somebody's basement, and my wife wouldn't let me send it in.
I always want to fill it out that says I'm Native American, because I am. I was born here, so yeah. I guess I'm Native American to this place,
yeah,
right?
I wasn't born here. I was born in France, so I couldn't get away with that.
You were?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, my dad was in the Army.
Oh, okay.
He was stationed over there, but I was born in the off-base hospital because it was a small post. Didn't have a hospital, just had like a clinic.
Right.
So I was born in the local civilian hospital, which was fine because both of my parents spoke French. My mom was Canadian and my dad was Canadian-American. So, you know, it was like really no problem.
Ah, so you're, and.
Cool.
Yes, so you're French. Are you dual citizen French?
Pardon me?
Are you dual citizenship?
Oh, no, no.
No?
I had an opportunity to choose that, and I turned it down.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I didn't want nothing to do with France.
Okay. Yes. French spy.
I'm all set. Thanks. I got to drive. But,
Yeah, really? Okay. No, I don't need to lay on my back when people attack.
You put your hands up. Oh,
exactly.
God, bad.
I'm out of white undershirts. What should I do? Shoot back.
Come on. Not all French people are cowards.
No, only the ones that were too dumb to run at first.
I can see where this show's going on.
And I can hear the phone calls coming in now.
Good thing we don't have
I kind of wonder how many people have put down that they were French in the census. Probably not very many, unless we're being filled out illegally in Brooklyn.
Is there anything you can get for free if you say you are? With the way that the current administrations work, there's always something free, a nice handout if you claim to be something else.
Yeah, you ain't got to worry about it. Somebody else will pay for it.
Exactly. House. I'm just waiting for when they start giving away cars.
Yeah, there you go.
I honestly,
well, doesn't the government still own GM?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, government they fired the motors. CEO and took it over.
Yeah.
Oh, they paid their bills back. Didn't you hear that? They paid their loans back.
No, I didn't hear that. I heard some banks did, but I didn't hear that.
Supposedly, they paid it all back. Yeah, I don't know where they got that from because
they borrowed it from Ford.
Exactly.
Ford's the only one that made Ford smart, because you know what happened with Ford? They invested heavily over in Europe.
But they're selling all those companies now.
Are they? Really?
Yeah.
Because you go over to Europe and you see Fords everywhere.
Yeah, well, you know, that they've done a very good job in Europe of building cars that fit what the customers want.
Exactly.
Smart. Good marketing.
In Europe that they prefer small gas economical cars, and that's what Ford built, and that's what the people are buying.
That's right.
You know, it's amazing. But you know, they can't seem to really tap into what Americans want.
Because Americans are indecisive by
large. Except for Mustangs,
I think they're getting it. Yes. Even over here, their cars, for one thing, their cars have improved enormously.
Huge.
And of course, over here, hey, the pickup truck's still the number one thing going, and they've got the number one pickup truck. But I think they've got something for the geeks out there, because this whole
sink thing,
that's fabulous.
I could comment on that one. I just rented the weekend prior for 8 days.
Yeah.
I rented a Ford Taurus Limited Edition with the sink. You know, and you talk about a Ford Taurus. You know, you can think of it as a middle of the road car, not. By a long shot. Leather interior, cruise control. I mean, this thing had every bell and every whistle any Mercedes that I've ever been in had. Honest to God. And the quality was absolutely top shelf. In a Taurus.
Wow.
So much so that I won't rent anything else but a Ford.
Yeah, Taurus, the resurrected brand name, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was the one that was dead. They killed it at a time when it was selling very well.
Yeah.
Because they had other models they wanted to push, and then their sales tanked. Figure that one out. So they brought it back. What a concept. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have killed it.
Exactly. If it's not broke, don't fix it, guys. If you found something that works, keep doing it. But, wow, what a fantastic car. I mean, I used to lean more towards GM. I can honestly say now that that is not the case, and I am a Ford man.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna. Well, I've been a Toyota guy for a long time. We just got it.
You go fast, don't you?
We got to wrap up. Hey, who needs brakes?
Yeah, really. Well, you know, I had to stick that in there as a joke. But quite seriously,
you know, people are complaining
because you're called neutral.
It's accelerating. You know? It's accelerating to 80, 90 miles an hour.
Woo!
Yeah, so that's what I do.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Well, you have to look to see if the driver behind the wheel, there's a very good tell if they're a fast driver or if there was a malfunction. Look at the size or the amount of white in the eyeball that you can see on the driver behind the wheel. If it's the size of saucers, it's unexpected. If it's squinty, they're playing race car driver, and then that's how you can tell. But, yeah, absolutely. You know, if they have this look of, holy shit, I'm getting ready to die, it's probably a malfunction. Which you haven't heard a hell of a lot about that recently.
No, not recently, no. Yeah, and you know what? I've had my Prius for 5 years
now. There was so much talk about, why don't you just stick it in neutral that maybe people started figuring out,
Yeah.
That's what that
is. It's really easy. I do that 3/4 of the time I'm driving anyway because my knee hits the shift and puts it in neutral. All of a sudden, I'm like, I'm losing power. What's going on? Oh, I hit neutral again. I bumped it into neutral again. I got to pop it back into drive.
I was going to say, by the way, with regards to, like you're saying, popping it into neutral because you're bumping it with your knee, Barry.
Yeah.
Not to get on a soapbox for Ford, but I'll tell you, it's the first car, this Taurus, just so you know, 33 miles to the gallon, and I was hammering the hell out of it while I was driving it.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, it's the first car that I ever get in. Sorry, go ahead. What's you saying, Marty?
I was going to say you're trying to get it to be found on the roadside dead, right?
Exactly. And I'll be honest with you, it's the first car that when I put the seat all the way back and it has the adjustable accelerator brake pedals, I couldn't reach the pedals.
Really?
That's how much legroom is inside this car.
Well,
it's phenomenal.
I'm going to check when it comes time for me to replace my Prius, because one thing is the new Prius, I've sat in it, but they did the my Prius does not have a center console that sweeps up into the dashboard,
right,
like a lot of cars do now. If you're a tall person, that is like hell, because you have no place right now. I can stick my knee out into the
open
center part, and I can actually drive a car. But you put one of those in, and then you've got the steering wheel and that center sweeping console that hits the dashboard, and you've got what I call leg lock. I can't move my knee much more than like a quarter of an inch either direction, and that's very uncomfortable when you're trying to drive, especially in long
distance. The Taurus has a center console in it, but like I said, it's 6'5".
Yeah.
I could adjust it so I couldn't reach the pedals by 3 inches.
That's nice.
That means you'd slide right in and fit beautifully.
So a new Prius may not be in my future if they've got that sweeping console and I can't move my leg around. So that's the only.
Maybe I embellished a little bit. Maybe it was 2 inches.
Well, but you two guys are both very tall guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm only 5'7", so, you know, I don't have those kind of problems in cars.
Yeah, well.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
You're right.
Consider yourself lucky.
Yes.
But speaking of the Japanese, and we talked about Europe, anybody following soccer?
No.
Well, I was until today.
did you even check out the World Cup?
I knew the United States was playing England.
Yeah.
And but I never had an opportunity to see the game.
Oh, really? Because, you know, I got to say,
that was like a week ago.
This is only our fourth show, but we have quite a following down in South Africa. Now, we've got a fan club down there. And
let us hear about
for
it
for late Barry. Night QRM. And I didn't know whether you guys had heard about it because they actually wanted to get on the next show. So I do have conferenced in our fan club from South Africa down there, and let me bring them online because they did want to come in for the show for a little bit. And let me see here. I gotta get them. Okay, let me pop them up here. And there they are. Hey guys.
Hello.
How's it going?
I don't know where this is going.
Okay.
Push the button.
It's nice, guys. Hey, I'm glad you could join us here for a little bit. I see you got those stupid horns that they're got in the World Cup.
I saw that on Graham Norton last night.
That's enough to make anybody give up on soccer.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us for a little bit there. That was our fan club from South Africa with their...
That was our love from South Africa.
With their Vuvuzela horns that have been plaguing the World Cup. I actually tuned in and watched part of a game here, and that's all you could hear in the background is in about that volume. Wow. I mean, how can anybody watch soccer? And second of all, how can anybody watch soccer with that constantly in the background?
Yeah, really. No wonder those hooligans at those games.
So, even today, I still don't see soccer becoming big here in the United States. Even though now we've got pretty much a generation that's grown up who went out and played soccer all the time,
Americans are the kind of people that only really like anything that they're good at. So until Americans get to be like really good at soccer, I don't think we're ever going to give a crap about it.
And I think there's another reason. And I found this report from The Onion, and I'd like to play this for you.
Welcome back to Sports Dome. It's the startling confession that has the whole sports world buzzing. Soccer has come out of the closet to tell the world it's gay. A FIFA spokesperson made the announcement at a press conference earlier today.
Soccer is not ashamed of what it is. Soccer is a gay sport. Youth League soccer, the MLS, even the World Cup, all of it is completely gay.
Joining us now to discuss the impact of this is OSN senior analyst Reggie Greengrass. Reggie, why did soccer choose to come out now?
Mark, league officials said soccer was just tired of pretending to be something it's not. Deep down, soccer is about a bunch of guys running around not touching a polka dot ball with their hands. It shouldn't have to hide how gay it is.
Now, will this change the way the game is played?
No. If anything, I think we'll see a firmer commitment to the gayest parts of soccer.
Interesting.
Players will feel free now to do their bicycle kicks, juggle the ball with their knees, and generally just be as gay as they want to be without worrying what people think.
You know, it must have been difficult for soccer to hide the fact that it was gay for so long.
Absolutely. From ancient Greece to modern-day France, there has never been a time when soccer wasn't extremely gay.
Yeah, and as recently as 1885, a London tabloid ran a salacious story about soccer.
Yeah, rumors like that are what caused soccer to go to great lengths to hide its secret, Mark. As we saw in the early 1990s when soccer tried to project an overly macho image, headlined by Alexi Lala.
Well, in retrospect, it's so obvious soccer was just overcompensating.
Yeah, apparently, it wasn't until David Beckham came along that soccer began to edge its way out of the closet.
Yeah, now there's even been some backlash from within soccer. 16-year-old varsity high school player Jeff Getter. He released a statement saying, "I don't condone or accept soccer being gay. I don't like gay things. I don't like to be around gay things."
Hey, look, of course, a lot of people aren't prepared to play a gay sport.
Right.
The fact of the matter is soccer's out.
And it's real quiet, too, because I can't hear a damn thing.
Look at me. I'm gay. Yeah.
Oh, you can't hear it?
Gay things come in all shapes and sizes. Thanks, Rich. When we come back, America's top high school mascot has signed a letter of intent to annoy people at UCLA.
Well, that was it. Man, you didn't hear that?
Nothing.
No. I've got you. I've got it.
Well, I can't wait till the show comes out so I can see, hear what you have.
It was a really great clip, guys.
Yeah, it must have been fantastic.
Did you hear the horns?
Take your word for it.
Did you hear the horns?
We didn't hear a thing.
Nothing.
The only thing I heard was Jash still clearing his throat.
Yeah, clearing my throat and drinking a milkshake.
Hey, hey. Oh, is that what that gump was?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a vanilla milkshake from Burger King.
I'm sorry, you're supposed to hear that.
No, I'm supposed to hear a lot of things. But I guess that was one of them, and I didn't.
Oh, you'll have to listen to the show. That was a good clip by The Onion, which... I'll have a link in the show notes for you.
That'd be great.
We'll appreciate that.
Exactly, so I can comment on what I can't hear. What'd you think of that?
Well, anyway.
It's quiet.
You'll have to listen. It was a great clip. But anyway, back to the soccer.
You say, Barry.
You know what? One headline I saw, which was very interesting, because as you know, the USA played the Brits, and it was a tie.
Okay? Which the Brits took as a... an embarrassment. Well, they actually were tied by the Americans.
But the New York Post actually had a headline the next day that said, USA wins 1-1.
Wishful thinking.
I didn't understand that at all. It was like, it's a tie.
Yeah.
How do you get a win out of that?
Just because we weren't supposed to even get a tie. You know, because... The Brits were coming into this were supposed to be one of the premier teams in the world.
Yeah,
and you know they were pretty well embarrassed by us even earning a tie against them, and it kind of proved that the tie wasn't such a big deal because they got beat by a lesser team later. So okay.
Yeah, and I guess Ghana beat us, and we're out of it now completely.
Yeah, well, Ghana was the same team that beat us 4 years ago, right?
Was it? I don't know. Yeah, I didn't watch it 4 years ago.
Oh, well, say so,
I didn't watch it either. I just heard them commenting on it that this was the same thing as 4 years ago. You know, the same team beat us, but I think the difference this time is that we actually made it to the second round, which was, you know, kind of like a major achievement.
Yeah.
Well, if you say so. Well, you could have told me that the U.S. got beat by Martians, and the only thing I'd have been interested in is what kind of propulsion system did they use in their ship to get here?
Well, no lie. How'd they get here?
Exactly.
Your wife's British. Didn't she follow it?
Nope.
No? She's not?
Not at all. She's not she's not really big into football.
Okay.
Not in the slightest.
Football. I can't wait till football starts up.
Oh, American football. Yes. Now, yes. You know what? Yeah. Actually,
I have DirecTV as well as Dish Network here because I want to be able to get the Sunday NFL Sunday ticket so I can watch the Patriots play.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You've got both of them.
Yeah.
Right.
We have four TV. We have four TVs, two each. What's wrong with that?
Why don't you just get DirecTV and get the season ticket?
The way it worked out when we moved back here, we got a three-way package with the phone company to get DSL, which was something new they had, and excuse me, the unlimited long-distance calling on the phone, and Dish Network.
Okay.
So we picked the three of them up, and everything was cool. You know, the football season came along, and I was like, oh, wait, how am I going to see the Pats? So we ordered DirecTV for my TV so I could watch so I could get the NFL Sunday ticket and watch the Patriots play on Sundays.
That's dedication.
Wow. Hey, come on. I've been rooting for this team since I was a little kid in Concord, New Hampshire, when they used to call the hapless Pats and things like that. Now that they're finally good, I don't want to miss a damn game.
I don't blame you, although I can honestly say that, you know, and here, again, not being in advertising for DirecTV, but I think it's pretty safe to say that anything that Dish Network can offer, DirecTV can offer, but better. Being a DirecTV subscriber, that's my personal take.
Yeah, I probably tend to agree with that.
Having both
too.
Of them, I kind of think DirecTV is better as well.
Yeah.
I think the big thing that Dish has is that they're cheaper. Because, you know, they get into these partnerships with other companies, mm-hmm. and with the three-way package, it actually ends up working out cheaper.
Right, right.
Well, I've been a DirecTV customer now for 13 years, I guess, since mm-hmm. we moved up here. And I've seen Dish, other people's Dish. DirecTV seems to be a higher quality. I don't have.
Yeah, well, it's going to be. DirecTV is going to get even higher quality when this whole lawsuit between TiVo and Dish Network finally finishes playing out.
There's a lawsuit?
Oh, it's been going on for like the past 4 or 5 years.
Really?
Dish Network, for their DVR, stole patents from TiVo. to put it into their DVR.
No one's going to notice when we take this circuit board.
Well, you know, for a while, you know, they kind of got away with it, you know. And then TiVo came after them and, you know, repeatedly asked them to, hey, look, you know, you got to pay royalties. You know, you got to pay something for licensing fees and things. And when Dish kind of didn't respond, they took them to court. And they went 2 or 3 years through court, and TiVo is finally winning. And, of course, Dish is appealing and appealing and asking for stays and things like that. So it's being dragged out. But eventually they're going to run out of stalls.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and they're going to have to either pay up or shut up. And I think that TiVo is just going to tell them, never mind, just shut up. Because, you know, the DirecTV took the opposite approach. They paid TiVo's licensing fees and say, can you give us more?
Right.
You know, and that's why their DVRs are a lot better. I've been seeing some ads for DirecTV where they're talking about that you get a DVR on one set, and you can watch whatever you have on your DVR on all your other TVs in the house.
I'm actually thinking about switching over to that because I think you have to pick up the new DVR. They've got a newer version of the DVR.
Yeah, you do. I was looking into it too, Barry.
Yeah.
And what do you hook up to your other TVs? Is there like a DirecTV box that has...
Yep. There's another little box. Like, I mean, I've got four TVs.
It's a DirecTV tuner. You can just get the normal DirecTV high-def tuner, and I think it only works with the high-def stuff.
Yep.
So you pick up the high-def tuner, which is like $99, although I don't like paying for something I don't own. I don't understand that
something
you have
to rent.
Thing. Yeah.
You know? I've always been confused with that. Why do I got to pay for it if I'm renting it?
I've asked DirecTV that, and they said it's like a down...
Because we can get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. But what you got to do is negotiate with them, and when you go and get it, you get free programming for that same amount that you're paying out.
Yeah, well, I'm not really that crazy about the programming because, you know, I only watch like half the channels, you know.
What I'm saying free programming is you get that programming, you don't pay, you know, you get your monthly payment that you're doing. You get that for free for like 6 months or whatever, an equivalent amount for whatever you're laying down for the new equipment.
Yeah, which is probably just a pittance to them, you know, 6 months.
Yeah.
So the boss has to wait a couple extra months before he buys his new boat.
But I'm thinking I'm looking into that because right now we've got our old DVR, which is happens to be a TiVo DVR up in the bedroom. But I've got we had to replace the TV up there, so now I've got a TV that does high def. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we only show standard TV up there. So I was thinking, well, if I get rid of that TiVo and go ahead and replace it with a high def receiver and replace the downstairs one with the new high def DVR, you know, now they can, you know, it's no different than you can use the DVR now.
Well, I'm kind of intrigued with being able to have the DVR, available to every TV in the house.
Right.
Because we have four TVs in all. There's the main one that my wife uses, and then there's the one that I have over in my living room, and then we have one in the kitchen / dining room and one in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And if we could sit there and be able to watch things from the DVR and all of those, that'd be pretty cool.
Now, the only thing that I'm concerned about with it is it does use your local network, your local... internet network.
Does it do it wirelessly, or do you have to run cables?
Well, you can do both. Actually, you can run cables.
I guess it's run cables because I've got a gigabit network running around the house. So,
it probably won't hurt you. I don't know whether I have gigabit set up.
My wife's getting it,
and I don't have wires going up to the bedroom, so I would have to probably use a wireless setup, which the box they sell to connect your receiver up wirelessly, I already have one of those little gadgets. It's a bridge, basically. So
the phone I called, by the way, was from the NRA, and my wife told him that she didn't want to talk to them.
The NRA?
The NRA. She really? Goes, somebody called the NRA.
That's kind of
she is not a gun person.
Oh, I'm a card-carrying member, but I haven't bought a gun yet. So.
Well, I used to have guns. Yeah. When I lived in Alaska, I had guns.
Oh, that's interesting. See,
that was the only time I ever hunted in my life. Mainly, it was just a cheap excuse to get out in the woods because it was just so fantastic up there.
Yeah, were you stationed up there?
Yeah, up at Eielson. Okay. I spent 5 years on a 3-year assignment.
Wow. So you liked it up there?
I loved it up there.
Wow.
If I could have gotten one more year, I could have retired up there. But really? The Air Force decided to move me when I had 1 year left in my 20-year career because they didn't like the idea of anyone staying at a base too long. It was bad for your career. My career was over. What are you talking about?
You have 1 year left. What the heck, you know?
So they moved me to South Dakota. You know? And, you know, you figure that, you know, when you retire, you've got like 90 days of time off.
Yeah.
And then when you've got time to get settled in, I basically arrived short. So they didn't know what they were going to do with me because they really couldn't plan on anything long term because I was going to be gone in less than a year. What a waste. But I did have fun there. When I got there, they had a Sun 480 that was sitting in a box because somebody had misordered it. Instead of ordering it to arrive fully assembled, it was ordered as a collection of parts. So they had the main machine, they had the memory DIMMs over here, they had the CD drive over there. You know, they had this whole pile of collection of boxes, and nobody knew what to do. And I says, well, what do you want to do with it? And they says, well, we were going to make a web server out of it. I says, you mind if I play with it? So I put it all together and stuff like that and had it all running within a couple of days. And I says, okay, I've got Apache on it. What do you want to do? They had long since forgotten what they wanted it for. I just left it on my desk and used it as my personal toy.
Ladies and gentlemen, your government at work. And then you wonder why most of us don't want the government running health care.
Yeah. Well, I eventually installed the Oracle on it because they had ordered a version of Oracle that came with the Oracle web server for it. I put that on there and we started transferring a lot of databases over to Oracle and setting it up. But I'm sure that probably a few months after I left, when I wasn't around to maintain the Oracle environment, that they probably let it die.
Probably.
There's nobody else doing anything about Oracle there.
Yeah, the government.
It was a shame. I wish I could have taken it with me. It was fun.
Yeah. So what were you talking about?
Hey, Barry, why did you talk about the iPhone 4?
iPhone 4?
That you bought one.
I did. I actually went on.
You are free of the yellow screen ailment. There's been reports that a small percentage of our new iPhone 4 devices have been experiencing a yellowing of the screen that evidently is just a temporary symptom. It's something left over from the manufacturing process. I mean, you know, you pay $200 for a device. You don't really expect it to be totally perfect out of the box, right?
I thought they were a heck of a lot more than $200.
If you get them with the 2-year plan from AT&T and you get the low capacity 16 gig one, I think it's about $200.
It's $200.
I think it's $300 for the 32, right?
That's right. Yeah, it was $300 plus 2 more years with AT&T.
Interesting.
And
so what do you think of it, Barry?
Are you
right-handed or left-handed?
I'm left-handed.
Oh, man, you're screwed.
No, you know what?
No reception for you, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. I hear about this, and I hear about, hear from the, I actually have a couple more clips, but I'm not going to play them because you guys can't hear them. But I want to talk about some of the tech podcasts out there, and I think I've figured out one group that has become very anti-Apple.
There was one now.
That would be the CNET folks. And I listen to Buzz Out Loud, which is their daily podcast of tech news. And I have an example here. Maybe I'll edit it into the show. I don't know.
How about this? I'll give you some strategic.
Hey, we'll pretend we're at fireworks show, right? And go, ooh.
I've got to work on it so you guys can hear this somehow. Anyway, I'll just explain it. CNET, there was an episode where they were actually talking about the iPad, okay? And that there was a story that somebody hacked into the AT&T computers and got a bunch of people's email addresses.
Okay.
Which, you know, most people could figure out these email addresses anyway, but anyway, they hacked into AT&T. That was the culprit who somehow got these email addresses. Well, seeing that the way they reported it was Apple let them hack into the AT&T network and get it. And if you listen to Tech News Today, which is a new daily show put on by the Twit Network, which is Leo Laporte's network,
right.
They reported it accurately that it was an AT&T problem. You listen to CNET, and it was Apple's fault. You know, they're very anti-Apple lately, and I think I finally figured out why they're anti-Apple. About a year ago, maybe 2 years now, they were bought by CBS. So they are wholly owned by CBS. Now,
CNET is, you mean?
CNET, yes. Now, if you remember, Apple and Steve Jobs, who is the CEO of Apple, is on the board for Disney. And Disney owns what? They own ABC. So why would CNET want to make Apple look bad and maybe cause Apple and Steve Jobs to lose money because, I don't know, Steve Jobs sits on the board of Disney, owner of ABC, a competitor? So, you know, remember that when you listen to CNET Tech Podcasts. And maybe that would explain why they are so anti-Apple. But anyway,
CNET does have some podcasts that are just that are pretty even-handed towards Apple. They even have an Apple-oriented show or two.
Yes, I do. And lately, they've been giving the bad Apple to Apple itself. So keep that in mind, too. Yes, it's Apple-based. It's all about Apple products, but they've been pretty harsh on Apple products. Not that if Apple has a bad product out there, you know, just all I'm saying is report it fair. And
So how long you had your phone?
I've had my phone since Thursday.
And how do you compare it to your previous iPhone?
This is much better than the previous phone. My previous phone was 3G. I skipped the 3GS, and I find this phone to be much faster. I'm enjoying the multitasking on it, although it is not true multitasking as a computer person. I know.
Is it like the preemptive type that Mac OS 9 had?
It's a preemptive type, and it is perfect for a phone. You hear a lot of people that go out and buy Droids and say, well, this has true multitasking. I can run several things simultaneously. Look, I can run these five things simultaneously and for a half hour because that's as long as my battery lasts.
Yeah. It's a good thing it's got replaceable batteries.
So
right?
To me, this type of multitasking there for listening to music and other things, you can run that truly in the background, and it works great. For GPS things, you can run it in the background, and that works great. For other things, multitasking means it saves your exact state. So when you go back to it, it's where you were when you left it. In the old iPhone, if you left the app and you went back to it, you were starting from new.
Start all over.
Yeah. So this works great, and it's not killing my battery. My battery life on this thing, on my old phone, I actually purchased a Mobi shell, which basically had another battery in it, which gave me double the lifespan of a standard 3G Apple battery, I could go through an entire day and maybe a day and a half if I'm not heavy into data, but I'm heavy into data, so I would charge it every night. Most people charge their phones every night. Yeah, you put it in.
So it's pretty much the way I am with my 3GS. I pretty much drain it three quarters of the way down.
Yeah. So with the Mobi, I'm good. I was good with the 3G. With the iPhone so far, the new iPhone 4, I'm going the whole day, and I still got like a quarter. And I've been using the Heavy just because it's new.
Yep.
You know? And I've got a quarter of a battery left when I go to bed at night. And plug it in.
It's a new toy syndrome, right? You can't put it down.
Yeah.
Even when your boss says, Barry, put that damn thing down and get back to
work. Well, that's the killer part is, well, luckily I got it on Thursday. The killer part is where I work, I can't have a cell phone. So the cell phone sits in a locker all day. And, you know, let me tell you, even with the old iPhone, it's my second brain. I really, you know, anytime I'm out and about, I have the phone, much to my wife's chagrin. She's always telling me, put that damn thing down. But I'm telling you, I'm loving the speed. I'm loving the display. The display is phenomenal. It's like, you know, the Retina display that people have criticized. Well, let me tell you, I can't see pixels on it. And I don't have, I have 20/20 with my glasses on. And I'm looking at it right now, and I cannot see pixels on this display. It looks like you're looking at ink. And it's the display is absolutely wonderful. It's got the front-facing camera and the back camera on the back, and you can flip back and forth on that, and both of them take excellent pictures. The back camera is 5 megapixel with a light. I want to say a flash. It's an LED flash, but it also you can take high-def movie with it, and it does a great job of that. You've got a digital zoom on it, which is great. I never had that before. You can tap to focus on it, which is another feature I didn't have before that I'm loving. And so, you know, this has become my standard camera now too, all in one. I mean, it takes great pictures.
And that's an improvement over the 3GS. That's what I have.
Yeah.
And it has a zoom function, but it doesn't have a flash. But the zoom function is kind of disappointing because when you zoom in, you lose a lot of sharpness.
Okay.
But then again, you know, I'm a person that uses a Nikon D80.
Right.
10 megapixel camera as my primary camera. So it's kind of an unfair comparison.
Yeah, slightly. This is great because it's in my pocket all the time when I'm outside of work, and I can just snap picture. I mean, it's become my carry-all camera, and you know, I've got other cameras that are a little bit better, but not that much better. I don't have a real fancy Nikon camera, or I wish I could.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, even though it's only 5 megapixel, I think that I was reading some articles that they were saying that you shouldn't get too keyed on the megapixel number,
right?
Because it's the post-processing after the
picture's
taken that makes the difference. And, you know, I mean, I'm talking about within the device itself.
Right.
That that iPhone 4 really does render some really, really good pictures because of the work that it does with what you give it.
Well, and not
as opposed to like previous iPhones and a lot of other handheld devices.
Not only that, but and also I've heard it's not so much the megapixels, but it's also the size of the sensor.
Exactly.
And I don't know what the size of the, obviously it's fairly small on here, but I'm telling you, so far the pictures have been excellent on this thing. So, and it's faster. The other problem I had with my old 3G phone is you tap the button to take a picture and there'd be a slight delay. And this one's quick. It's you hit the button and boom, it's taking pictures. So, and I did purchase iMovie, and you can actually edit movies on here. You can take a bunch of picture, you know, segments, video segments.
You didn't already have iMovie?
I have iMovie on my Mac, which is, you know, if I have that available, if I want to do something.
Oh, you bought it for the iPhone?
Yes, they have it for the iPhone.
Oh, okay,
now, so
you didn't say that. You just said you bought iMovie.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry,
said,
no.
Minute, didn't you already have that?
No, I have it for for my Mac.
Okay.
And I you know, but
I didn't know they had an
the
iPhone
field,
version
you,
out.
Yes, they with the iPhone 4, they have one, and it's nothing great. It's not like the iMovie that you get on your Mac, but for slapping together, you know, movie clips and getting something pretty
into
decent
YouTube
out there. Yeah, into YouTube, exactly. Although I don't think you can, I don't
or
know.
What do you guys call it? U-Face or something?
U-Face.
Or
FaceTube? FaceTube, that's it.
FaceTube and U-Book.
Yeah. So anyway, my quick little review of the iPhone. So far, so great. I did try to make the antenna thing, the problem happen. I haven't been able to make it happen, so I guess I have dry hands. I'm thinking people with sweaty palms are the people with problems. I am left-handed. And by the way, I do live in the sticks, so I am a fringe person. I'm out on the fringe of being able to receive cell phone coverage. And by the way, that's not just an AT&T thing. It's also a Verizon thing out here.
Yeah, it's the same thing here. We have no coverage from anybody.
So I'm a perfect candidate. I could not reproduce the problem. I did, however, buy the little band thing because I just really wanted to protect it. And I do have some concerns that if that's the antenna, I want to have a little bit of something away from my skin from it. But that's true with any cell phone.
You're too old to be worrying about cancer. It'll take 10 years. By then, you'll be almost retired.
Besides that, I've got a Bluetooth thing that I use a lot with the cell phone just because, one thing, a lot of times when I'm talking to somebody, I want to do stuff on the phone. And I can't do that if I've got it up against my face.
So, yeah, I know what you mean.
So I'm liking it, and yeah, I'm kind of a Apple fanboy, but that's only because I like stuff that works. And so far, the Apple stuff I've bought, it's expensive, but it works. So
I'm not really much of an Apple fanboy. I just kind of like cool toys, and it seems like the only company making any really cool toys is Apple.
I gotta say the Android phones do look kind of neat, but I from what I've heard with people that own them, and again I say this for cell phones only because when I grab my cell phone and I pull it out of the pocket and I want to do something on it, I want it to work, and I don't want to have to stand around and this kind of works. And, let me restart it because, it just crapped out in the middle. And, if I'm on a cell phone, I want the thing to work. So I can tolerate some disappointment on desktop computers or notebooks or laptops because I can restart something. But on the cell phone, I'm usually in a hurry and I want it to work. And I've heard a lot of things about people with Androids that it's just missing that polish. And I like the polish on a cell phone. So that's my review of the new iPhone 4.
Well, thank you.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I'm loving it.
Absolutely.
And more so, I'm loving this DSL. And it's only been a day, but I'm loving the speed.
Absolutely. Just to jump on your bandwagon, I'm dying to get the Apple iPhone to hopefully someday go to my Verizon so I can actually get one.
There's lots of rumors that it is coming soon.
But those have been around for the past 2 years.
Joel, you're crapping out a little bit.
I'm waiting it out anyway. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
You're doing what?
You're actually doing the same. I could barely hear you.
Really?
You sound like you're a million miles away.
Because Barty sounds great, but you kind of crapped out. You're coming back now.
Yeah, Barty sounds great to me, too.
Yeah, you sound like you're getting shaky over here.
Absolutely.
You just dropped out completely. Do you want to try to reconnect?
Are you downloading something?
Is your wife online too?
Are you talking to Barty?
Huh?
Possible. It's possible.
Is she downloading something?
I have no idea. I have to go check. Go to the other part of the house to find out.
Okay. Well, you're starting to sound better now.
Okay. Well, that's because I'm thinking positive thoughts.
Yeah. There we go.
Positive thoughts. Okay.
I'm
wishing I had an iPhone and actually see what it is that you're talking about.
Well, one of these days you'll get up here and I'll show it to you. You can play with it a little bit.
Envy, phone envy can really set in.
I don't know. You've got, when are you running your BlackBerry, right?
Yep, running my BlackBerry, and I have to say I absolutely love it. You know, I actually tried to switch off of the BlackBerry, and that lasted about 16 hours. And then I reactivated mine because I couldn't live without it.
Yeah, the crackberry.
Like you said, it's like a second brain.
Yeah. And people that have BlackBerries, a lot of people that have BlackBerries, they love their BlackBerries. So
yeah.
And it
I have a BlackBerry from work, but it's not a a touchscreen one. It's one of the 8830s.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what I have, 8830. And, you know, I'm still a little apprehensive on the touchscreen.
I can't get apps to really load on that thing. If I put any other apps on it, it starts to really bogged down. I put Facebook on it, and Facebook constantly checking for updates makes it really, really slow and sluggish to the point that I almost can't use it. So I removed it. Yeah.
Done.
And it doesn't seem to want to put anything on the extra memory card that we have in it either.
Really? I have a 10 gig memory card in mine. It works really, really well. I mean, it stores everything on there, and I'm looking at it right now, and I'm probably, let's see what you got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 71 apps on mine right now. And I don't have any problem with it being bogged down at all.
Yeah, I can't get that much on there. You have VZ Navigator on yours?
It came with it. When I did my last upload with BlackBerry, with RIM, it put it on here, but I don't use it.
Yeah, I use it a lot when I travel. But you know what's funny? When it gets bogged down, or if I ignore it too long, when it tries to tell me to turn here, turn here, turn here, if you ignore it too long, it'll just stop talking to you.
Mine always gets recalculating. And every once in a while,
that really kind of screwed with me in Texas, because they had changed the road where a lot of these side streets used to go all the way out to this road running, a main road running into Fort Sam Houston. And all those roads are all dead ended now. So, you know, when I would turn away from one, it would tell me to turn around and do a U-turn. And it's like, well, no, I can't. So I kept trying to get out of this one section, and it kept directing me to one after another of these dead-ended roads. And so I had to, like, just go way the heck out of the way to just to find another part where it would look for a different path. And by then, it had just stopped talking to me. It was updating the screen. If I held it up in front of my face, I could watch what it was talking about. But man, it's hard as hell to drive like that.
I don't use the I don't use that VZ Navigator. I have a Garmin that as far as I'm concerned, the thing is bulletproof. You know,
my wife and I have a Garmin as well that we use.
The only thing that I find with mine is when you get to your final destination, even when I go up to Barry's house, even though I know where I'm going, it'll say your final destination is on the left and his house happens to be on the right.
I think that's a mapping thing, too. Mine's
consistently always off at the final destination. Yeah. It'll say it's on the left-hand side and it's always on the right or vice versa.
Well, if you punch in my address...
Yeah.
On all in Google, on several other mapping things. Well, first of all, I don't want to give out my address, but I'm not going to give it out my address. But
Woods in New Hampshire.
Woods in they changed the name of our road probably right after we moved in 13 years ago. So it used to be one of these things, old Fiddly Whittles road, okay? And they changed it to a fantastic road. Say the name of the road is fantastic, okay? Well, on Google now, if you look at it, they actually combined them. It's like it used to be Old Fiddly Stamps Road, and now it's now Fantastic Road. Well, they call it Fantastic Fiddly Doos Road. They combined the two names, and also if you punch in my street number, it shows me living down the road about a mile from where I actually live. So I don't.
That's kind of close, you know.
Yeah.
It's close enough for a big bomb, you know.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, let's...
for a big bomb. That's good.
My background is in ops, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But as a rule of thumb,
it was all about putting bombs on targets, and you know, the bigger the bomb, the less accurate you had to be.
You know, I was just sitting here thinking, I mean, I thought the whole idea was to be able to put a missile through the actual window and hit the dining room table. Not hit the neighborhood.
That's today's warfare. Yeah, exactly. That's today's, you know, unlike World War II, where we just decimate a neighborhood and just hope we got the factory in the process.
I don't want to say I live too far out in the sticks as you guys talk about bombs, but Google Street View hasn't even made it down my street yet.
Google,
no, I don't think they will, Barry.
Well, they made it down the main road, but they haven't made it back my way yet.
I don't think they've been anywhere near where I live. So you think they may have been down to Syracuse. That's like 60 miles away from me.
Do you live on a paved road?
Half of it.
Okay. Mine's paved, but I was going to say, talk about living in the sticks. I thought one time you told me that your road isn't completely paved.
No, only half of it is. The other half isn't.
Only the part you need.
We ain't got
on.
No cable here either.
That's funny.
Oh, that's funny. Oh well.
Well, it's not funny when the clouds get thick and your satellite TVs go out.
I experienced that too.
You know, but the funny thing is, even with the with DirecTV, here we go again. Even in the worst of worst storms, mine always works. The only time it hasn't, and it's only been once, is where I had so much ice buildup that was about 7 inches thick on the dish that it started to distort the picture. So needless to say, I went out and hung. Actually, I hit it with used a blow dryer on the back of the dish, melted the ice off during an active nor'easter, and it worked just fine.
Our problem is, well, you probably don't have as many trees where you are, but here in the New England area for the high def satellites, they're well, let's see, I guess, you know, if you didn't have trees, elevation, I guess ground elevation is about zero. The satellites are about 10 degrees in the air, I think. and when you got trees, welcome to New England. So good
until fall shows up.
Yeah. Especially in the summertime. Yeah, you experience a lot of problems with the satellite. Winter time, not so much because the leaves are down. But I look at my satellite dish and it's almost at a 90 degree angle with the ground. So it's looking straight out. So when a heavy storm comes through, you can expect outages.
No kidding. I must be lucky then.
Yeah, you must get nicer weather.
Yeah, I'm all maybe 60, what is it, 60, Barry? About 60 miles from Barry's house.
Yeah, I used to live in Nashua over on Fox Street.
Really?
Off of Broad Street.
Okay, I know exactly where that's at. It's a pretty city. I like it.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. When we first bought the house over there, it was really kind of nice because that childcare center that was there, that was all woods.
Okay. So
And the trees were thick enough that we couldn't hear the traffic from Route 3. So it was fairly quiet where we were. Mm-hmm. You know, it's only a very short street, you know, very quiet neighborhood. And then they came through one time. My wife and I were, she was accompanying me on a business trip somewhere. And we came back. All the trees were gone. They just raped the whole thing out and dug out all the stumps and everything. And we're going to town. Putting in that child care center. I guess it's like a preschool or something.
Yeah.
But after that, you could hear Route 3 all night long as just a big loud noise. And of course, to make it worse, they chose to put their dumpster right up against our property line. Thanks a lot, folks. You know, when on the hot summer days, when the wind blew towards our house, it was just terrible.
Isn't it? It's always something.
Yeah, life in the city.
Yeah. Well, guess what, guys?
What?
Yeah, we're over, I think, pretty much over the 1 hour mark. So we got to start wrapping this up. And You know,
well, I hope we didn't bore any cable customers with all our satellite television talks. Well, I mean, it's going to be like the of this episode.
They're either going to say, well, gee, maybe I should check out DirecTV, or they're saying, oh, boy, thank God I got cable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those guys must own stock in satellite TV, that's for sure. That's what they're thinking.
So, well, you know, it's like I said, living out in the sticks, that's sometimes your only option. Well, it is your only option.
That's what it is here.
And it's the
you
cable.
Put up the aerial and catch one, maybe two stations.
Yeah.
You know, or get a dish and get them all.
Yeah, the cable stops a mile away from my house, so.
Cable stops like about 20 miles from ours in any direction.
Yeah. So you're probably saying, thank God, when satellite TV came in to existence. So anyway, yeah. We haven't even hit half the topics we have here this week. So
it's pretty typical from what I've heard of the previous episodes.
Yeah. It's kind of a free play. Hey, you know, stay up late with the guys. That's kind of what it is. So, welcome to Late Night Bullshit Center session.
That's exactly what it boils down to. Yeah, we got a bunch of guys just shooting the shit about whatever.
So, drinking and shooting the shit. That's what we do. So, with that, I think we better start wrapping it up. And I do have a song picked out.
Oh, and, a whole song?
That's better than the last episode.
Yeah.
As I recall, you were like guessing for a song. Oh, I didn't pick one.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we've got a song, and since you guys can't hear it, I'll edit it in later.
I was going to say, here's our song. I'll just, matter of fact, I don't have a song. I'm just going to hum a tune for you for the next 3 minutes.
Hey, but, you know, I will say, being a former member of, the U.S. military, and I want to thank everybody for listening, and particularly I want to say for the guys, you know, serving right now, especially the ones not near here at home, out in Afghanistan and Iraq. I want to say, hey, we're thinking about you. We always are. And this is to you guys. Thank you for your service. Because, you know, without you, there'd be a whole lot of bad things going on around the world. And you guys help keep us safe. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So with that, we'll say see ya until next time. And our musical guest this week is Paul Stride. And this is his song, Summer.
Summertime. In the heat of the summertime. yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Samson, speak. Good boy.